Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
Jones and Keefe, WEEI, that was Del Pettis, breaking things up last night. Good play for him. Here's what I'll say about Del Pettis.
What are you going to say about Del Pettis?
We were complaining about when they cut Jabril Peppers and complaining about when they traded Kyle Duggar for nothing. Yeah. And you're looking at their depth and their issues with their depth. And I say, well, wouldn't you want to bring in a safety and bring in a guy who can play? Do you want Del Pettis out there at the end of these games? And it's Justin Fields. It's the Jets. But Pettis had another breakup earlier this year in the end zone. I'm trying to remember who that was against. And then he had that play last night. It only would have made it a one-score game. It's not like it was a game-saving play or anything like that. But that's a nice play for him. And between him and Elijah Ponder, who had another sack, second consecutive game, those were two positions we highlighted and said, why are you subtracting your depth from here? Why are you trading Keon White? Why are you trading Kyle Duggar? I don't love either of those players, but if an injury happens, you might need them. And it turns out Del Pettis, Elijah Ponder,
making some plays.
I mean, they are making plays. I don't know that they're going to make plays when it matters, but they're making plays.
What did you think of our guy, the eraser, last night?
He erased himself on that. Who was that? Who had the second touchdown?
What even was that
Mechie?
Guy? Oh, yeah, John Mechie. Yeah, John Mechie scored that.
Not a great play by the eraser there.
No, wasn't great. Also, you know what I get the sense of? Watching a lot of the guys in the secondary when trying to defend the Jets and Justin Fields, and the guy would get open, and then Justin Fields would throw it in the turf, or Justin Fields would actually put it on the guy, and he'd drop it. And then, so it looks like, oh, nice job by the defense. It reminds me of, in baseball, when someone steals second base, and the throw beat him by like a mile, but it was just like off target. And you're like, all right, you get a steal. It's like, you didn't really get a steal. You should have been thrown out. That happened a lot last night where you're like, man, a better quarterback, a better receiver is going to complete a bunch of passes. So it's like, it's hard to tell. You know, they've done a pretty good job against other better quarterbacks this year, including, you know, Baker Mayfield. But there were so many times where you're like, the guy was open. The guy was open. The Jets can't make plays. They cannot throw the ball. Like, they have to get somebody else in there.
617-779-7937. You can jump in on this. It is hour two, Patriots Friday. Jones and Keefe, a reminder. Football talk on WEEI presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local game live every Sunday, all season long. Just visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Real quick amendment. I misread my own notes.
Amendment?
Yeah, Reese had two items here that jumped out to me. The first one I read you, the four-win teams that then won 9 of their first 11.
Yeah.
I told you it was the Chiefs, the Cowboys, and the Niners. He had a second stat in here, and I crossed my stats.
We have too many stat of the week
I told
nominees.
You, we were going to shatter the scale.
I have another one
today
to throw your way, but go ahead.
Okay. Yep. Second-year quarterbacks to win 8 straight starts. In the last 20 years, Dak, same Cowboys team in 2016.
Lamar.
Wentz in 2017, which that one's a weird one because the Eagles won the Super Bowl, but it wasn't because of Wentz.
No, but he was having an MVP.
Yeah, exactly.
He was like an MVP season, and he got hurt, and he's never been the same.
No, and then you were right. Lamar in 2019, I crossed my numbers. So that 2019 Niners team made the Super Bowl and lost. It was Lamar who lost in the divisional round. So look, I think there's some interesting numbers there. None of these teams have won the Super Bowl. But if they're in the Super Bowl and they're going on a deep run, I mean, look, that would be pretty good. That'd be great.
I would take that.
If you're Kansas City and Dallas and you're knocked out in your first playoff game, not so good. So teams have been there before. I'm not making that case. If Cam Newton wants to make that case, go ahead. But I stand corrected on the 2019 Niners. I was looking at the Baltimore Ravens. My mistake.
But also, I mean, we're so far away from the playoffs that every single scenario is still on board. They could have the bye. They could host the Chiefs. And you're like, well, that's a tough first-round game. They could be on the road against Pittsburgh. Like, there's so many different ways where you're like, if they lose in the wild card round, I mean, their opponent could, it could be a huge swing, right? Like, it's not like you get like the worst, like dirtbag team, or you might get the best team, right? If like Lamar or Mahomes kind of get catch fire or something, like, oh no,
the scary thing is, right? Yeah. The Chiefs and Ravens right now are on the outside of the playoffs looking in. If either one gets the 7 seed and upsets the Colts, who are the 2. Now, all of a sudden, you're getting KC.
Yeah, you're like, hold on.
At home after the bye? I wouldn't love that.
No, I know.
And it doesn't mean the Patriots couldn't win that game, but I wouldn't love it. We'll get to some gripes from last night, some nitpicks, if you will. Plus, we have the Friday 4-pack on the way at 11:30. We got a top 5 Friday for you, our top 5 Jets.
Top 5 Jets. I got a good list.
Should be a good one at 11:45. I'm curious. I think this could be a week where there's overlap, but
there might be some overlap.
I guess we'll have to find out.
Okay.
They only have so many options.
I disagree. I think there's a lot to choose from.
Let's go to Jay in North Carolina. What's up, Jay?
Good morning. Good morning, folks. Hey, look, if you think Stephon Diggs is an impact player, just ask the Buffalo Bills. But I thought perhaps the running game had finally got going, but it is the New York Jets. But now they're going to face the team whose guy I really wanted the Patriots to trade for was that Trey Hendrickson, a pass rusher, because that's the last hole to plug.
Yeah, is he going to play this week?
No, I don't think he is.
I'm sorry, against the Patriots a week from now. I don't know
Henderson?
If Hendrickson's going to play.
Yeah, yet. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like Hendrickson would have been a nice big-ticket player to go get, but he hasn't moved yet, so I'm not going to crush the Patriots for that. I'm more curious if Burrow plays in that game. Doesn't sound like he will.
I don't think Burrow is going to play in that game. I just hope that Milton Williams is healthy.
Well,
now that's a big concern.
Did you get a little nervous when Milton Williams went out of the game? Not just because he left the game. I think he played 8 snaps. He left. He came back. Then he sat out. He did not return in the second half. Vrabel. In fact, we can play that for you now if you want. This is Mike Vrabel on the Milkman, Milton Williams, after the game last night, his understanding of the injury.
Mike, Milton Williams went out, looked like he came back, gave it a go. Was it a situation where, in a different situation, that maybe he could have gone?
Maybe I made it just a decision that it felt like, you know, we should probably just start treating that thing and get ahead of it and see where he's at here tomorrow in the next couple of days and try to weigh. Again, he wanted to try to go and, you know, say he's out here standing with me when guys are coming in. And he's excited for him, so I appreciate his leadership. But I just made a decision that I felt like was best for the team and that you know, for his instance.
Okay, so it sounds like we're not looking at a long-term injury if you take Vrabel at his word.
And you can even arrest him next week if you want.
I was going to say, I don't know if that means he plays against the Bengals or even the Giants. Like, maybe he needs some time, and this is being dramatic, honestly, but maybe he needs some time and he's back after the bye week. I don't think Vrabel would tell you he could have gone back into the game if it was a season-ending injury, for instance.
Was that really him tweeting during the game, too?
Good question. I don't know.
Terp sent us a thing?
I don't know. I saw other beat writers cited, so I assume that's right,
but I
genuinely don't know.
I was like, all right.
But, no, I was nervous when Milton Williams left the game, Keith.
Yeah.
Not only because the Patriots were without him. He just told us last time we talked to him he's never broken a bone. I'm like, so help me God if he, like, broke his ankle or something like
people
that.
People were on that. People were mad we asked him that. It was a part of Bob Ryan's Have I Ever.
Don't we us.
I asked him.
You asked him.
I asked about food. I asked about broken bones. People get upset about it. Sorry. But, yeah, no, that was one of the down parts of the game. Just, you know, him having to leave, him not coming back into the game, and then, you know, we'll see what happens. But that's, I guess, the one benefit of the Thursday game is just you have even more time to recover from it.
Let's go back to North Carolina. I'm not sure we've ever taken back-to-back North Carolina phone calls.
It's the Belichick impact.
Sean's in Greenville.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
So Kyle Williams, last week he had a slant pattern, caught the ball, and then his feet took over. Last night he was targeted 3 times and, to me, looked a little bit lost. Just interested in your perspective. Had that fade down the left side that was back shoulder that he was looking the wrong way. He was nowhere near a ball on the right sideline that may look for. So it's either them getting on the same page or is he something that maybe we should be worried about another wasted wide receiver pick?
So, Sean, the call screen says, and he got there, he says Kyle Williams is a bust. I think too many people shortchanged his touchdown catch last week. It was a great throw by May. You still got to turn on the Jets and go break that off for a touchdown. Like, I think way too many people minimized Williams's end of that play.
Yeah, but there is a difference between being fast and being good.
And that was an unbelievable throw by May. Perfectly in stride, just outside of the reach of the defender. I'm talking last week against Tampa. The 3 targets for Williams last night, if I have them right, one should have been intercepted. That was actually a bad throw by May.
Yeah, he did not even try to break it up. He just said, kept running.
No, so, but that was maybe May's worst throw of the night. And there weren't a lot of them. That was probably it. The other one was on the left sideline. This is the one the caller referenced, where Williams looked over the wrong shoulder. May put it on his outside shoulder. He looked the wrong way. And then the third, he cut off his route like at like 20 yards, and May threw it like 50 yards down the field up the right sideline.
Well, he talked about 2 weeks ago, remember? He was like, oh, miscommunications. Drake May's like, what are you talking about? And I was like, oh, that's not good for him. But he then had the big touchdown in the last game. So it's too early for me to say he's a bust. I will say, when we first saw him at training camp, I was like, wow, he's tiny. Like, he's way smaller than I thought.
He is.
And with Kayshon Booty being out, you're like, here's more of an opportunity. But even with that, Steph Diggs and Mac Hollins are playing really well. He still throws to Henry, still throws to Henderson. So you're like, I don't know, Pop Dog List, another guy. Like, he's still, with one guy down, he's still fourth on the depth chart.
Do you know the snaps for him? I'm double-checking the number.
Off the top of my head, I don't. I'd guess 50%.
I believe he played one fewer snap than Diggs. You'd never know it.
No, he's very
low
impact.
Wide receiver snaps. Okay. Hollins played 85%, 57 of them. Another great game for Hollins last night. Could have reeled in a long catch that got broken up.
You know, Hollins is good.
But Hollins was great again last night. Diggs played 46 snaps, 69%.
Nice.
And Kyle Williams at 45 snaps, 67%. You would never know it.
No, you just saw the three times they threw it to him.
Douglas played 19 snaps. I got to be honest.
He's more impactful.
I've really started to come around on Pop Douglas. He had the fourth down conversion. He had another third down conversion. He's not playing a lot, but when he's out there, he's making plays.
The handoff didn't work, but I like that they do it.
But that to me is on McDaniels.
No. I'm saying it didn't work. It's on Pop's fault. I'm just saying, like, but that should be like.
They try that every week. Yeah. It doesn't work every week.
Sprinkle it in.
Yeah, the McDaniels mafia is awful silent on that. So this is just a gripe at the way McDaniels is characterized in the media.
Cooking. He was in the kitchen last night cooking.
Mego, you could tell me and Mego worked together for a chunk of time because Mego sneaked out exactly what I was doing or sniffed out exactly what I was doing on Twitter.
Okay.
I was like, boy, this is a great improvisational drive by Drake May. MVP type of drive, yeah. Second drive of the second half, and she's like, I like the subtle shot at McDaniels. I'm like, that is exactly what I was doing.
Correct.
And she picked up on that right away.
I got it.
But then, you know, you get the typical ones in the McDaniels mafia. One you're going to hear from today at 2.
Yeah.
Three.
Well, one at 2 and then one at 3.
Yeah. There's a lot of McDaniels mafia members, but one specifically you'll hear from at 3.
Right.
They're like, oh, I've never seen the running back lined up this way in the backfield. I'm like,
he's in his bag.
That's what you saw in that drive from Drake May. Was McDaniels?
Let McDaniels cook.
That's insane to me. And boy, the McDaniels mafia is silent on the jet sweep or the play where Hunter Henry, they asked him to try to block the edge rusher there.
Oh, he did not.
It's like, boy, I didn't hear the McDaniels
Johnson?
Mafia on that one. Yeah,
didn't have him.
Dead silent on that one.
That was a tough go for our guy.
I mean, May has this unbelievable drive, and I got to hear about how Josh McDaniels is in his bag. I'm going to lose it.
Should we ask him how surprised he was to try to block Jermaine Johnson one-on-one?
That's a good one. What'd you think of that?
He'd hang up the phone.
How surprised were you that Josh asked you to do that?
When Josh said, hey, you got this guy. He's coming off an Achilles injury or whatever.
By the way,
you got him.
I have a bone to pick with Hunter Henry.
Go ahead.
Last night he was asked, is Drake May the MVP? And he's like, well, he's my MVP. Shoot, I love the guy, this and that. And I'm
Didn't
like,
tell us that.
We asked him that a couple weeks ago, and he's like
y'all
I don't know, man.
That.
That's up to you guys.
Actually, it's not up to us. It painfully so. I wish we could vote. We're not allowed to vote.
If we could vote, though, he would be the MVP.
Yeah, last week we asked, I think you asked, Henry and Ellis. Is Drake May the MVP? Hunter Henry said it's up to us, which it isn't. Christian Ellis said it's up to God, which it also isn't.
Well, it might be.
No, I'm not trying to like you
I mean,
do whatever you want with
great.
God. I'm just telling you, I don't think he picks the MVP. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before.
Honestly, if he picks the MVP, he really
Tim Tebow.
He boned Jokic.
Tebow every year. Once again, Tebow. He's like, he didn't even play in the league. How is he the MVP?
It's true. I forgot that was the range of answers on the MVP.
Yeah, so that was, we should run it back this week. We'll ask him again.
On our list of gripes and nitpicks, though, Kyle Williams is on my list. And
yeah, he is. I was
hoping to build off the long catch and just see him more involved in the game. And he was more involved, 3 targets versus 2, but the targets were all garbage.
That was a season high in targets.
Yeah, is that true?
Yeah. He has 11 total targets.
I'm not ready to say he's a bust. Like, he's already shown more than Jalen Polk, who I was ready to say was a bust at this point in the year last year. I'm not ready to say it yet, but I had to like pick one or the other, he's looking more like a bust than a lock.
No,
I can tell you that.
When Kayshon Booty comes back, he is a clear-cut fifth. Like, if you're going to tier the receivers on the team, which we might do on Tuesday.
That's a great idea.
I'd go Diggs.
Yep, all alone.
And then the next tier down, I'd go Booty and Hollins. And then I'd go a tier down, Pop.
I'm happy you said that. They deserve to be on the same tier.
Booty and Hollins, yep. Hollins, Booty. Yep. And then I'd go below that, Pop. And then I'd have an empty one. And then I go Kyle Williams.
And Chisholm?
No, and then below that, Chisholm.
I think they're on the same tier.
Chisholm doesn't line up on offense, so he can't be on the same tier as Kyle Williams.
He played some snaps last night.
Offensively?
Yes.
I thought he just returned kicks.
I mean, I didn't realize that until I just looked. He had five wide receiver snaps.
Okay, all 22. Take it easy. Nobody noticed Chisholm on offense. Jones is like, actually, when I rewatched the game on my way in.
Like, please. What was Michaels calling Chisholm last night, by the way? I feel like he wasn't saying it right.
Schism, like the Tool song. I think that's what he called him. Like, yeah, he took a different stab every time they returned
kicks.
It
was like never right. He clearly was like, didn't know who was returning kicks. I was like, like scrolling
through the hell is that guy? Did you see Michaels, though, shout out the uniforms? He liked the uniform. He really liked the Nor'easter uniforms.
Did he?
He was like, yeah, we see some that are trash. Oh, that was the other thing. They panned to those guys in the booth. He was like kind of on one last night because he was saying how much he liked the uniforms. Then he was talking about the building, like the Gillette Stadium.
Oh, and he's like, the old one was a dumb
trash heap. Oh, my God, it was awful.
I heard that.
I was like, all right, easy, Al. We're past that. It's 25 years ago.
Pile of human excrement that they used to have right off of Route 1.
And then once again, they gave Robert a pat on the back for not moving the team to Hartford.
Yep.
It was great. Al's like, you know they were going to move the team to Hartford. And Kirk Herbstreit goes, yeah, you told me that. He's like, he had no recollection of it. He was like, you already told me about this.
No, Al is...
I have lost interest.
I love Al.
So who doesn't love Al Michaels?
The man's, you know, he's not as dialed in as he used to be.
You think he's on the back
is
nine?
What I would say. I would say he's on, 18. He's in a playoff.
He's putting on 18?
Yeah, he's in a playoff is what I would say. And I love Al Michaels. The guy's
had an
unbelievable career. But he's a few holes into a playoff is what I would say. That's how I would describe it.
I'm not going to call it a sudden death, but that's what we're dealing. That's what we're dealing with here.
Any other gripes or nitpicks? How about the
opening? The opening drive thing. Justin
Fields
kind of comical.
Justin Fields marching down the field. Yeah. I'm sorry, like Cam Ward,
Bryce Young, Spencer
Rattler.
Young,
like some of these garbage quarterbacks.
Didn't Dylan Gabriel too?
Yeah, that sounds right.
They all did.
At least
yeah,
those
Grable said their gimmick plays right.
Yeah,
out.
Those guys can throw.
Yeah.
Fields can't throw, and they still did it.
Can't throw.
Like
he can run, though.
That was the worst one.
He could scoot.
Yeah.
He was scooting a little bit. But, no, it is amazing just to see a team, like a bad team, all these bad quarterbacks. And they win, and they button it up, and teams score, like, one more time the rest of the game. But it's that first drive every time. You're like, oh, my God. No, that was the one that stands out the most. And then I would just say, like, the secondary. Woodson gave up a play. And then the secondary did seem to be, like, and maybe they knew, like, let's just not get beat over top on like a long play. The receivers aren't going to beat us. But there were plays to be had. It was just Fields and Mitchell couldn't make them. But like next week even, can Flacco and Chase and Higgins, like, yeah, they'll make plays.
Oh,
Chase will catch everything.
I bet they're scoring on their first drive.
Chase is going to score on his first drive. Take Chase touchdown.
Yeah.
Chase will have the game Drake London had probably.
Yeah, first touchdown.
First touchdown, Jamar Chase.
First touchdown.
Well, you know what was funny? They showed the
graphic. They got to win that coin toss, but yeah.
First touchdown, you could pick either Jets or Pats, and I thought about it because they flashed it up on the screen, and it was like first touchdown plus like 320 Jets, and I was like, well, if they get the ball,
I'm betting.
Based on the way things have gone,
I'm laying it down.
Yeah, get in there.
That's certainly a gripe. Vrabel talked about this after the game. If we don't mind teeing that up, Vrabel on the Jets' first touchdown drive. Here's what he had to say.
What did you see from the defense on New York's opening drive, and why do you think it's just been so difficult to get that stop on the opening possession this season?
The quarterback tonight, you know what I mean? We couldn't faster than most of the guys we got and didn't do a good enough job, so we recovered a little bit, and we'll have to try to continue to be better there, but you know, there's plenty of opportunities and places where we play good defense, and I have to remember that. That they can get a first down and we can still stop them. You know, I mean, it doesn't have to be three and out every time.
So I thought that was interesting where he's almost like the team has like a here we go again sort of attitude when they're picking up first downs. He's like, guys, they just get a first down. We can still stop them. Like, it's not the end of the world on the drive.
It's weird.
So I thought that was interesting how he answered that. But that's a gripe. I didn't love how they finished the first half either. I think you and I disagree on that. I didn't mind not calling timeouts. I just wanted to see some urgency. And I feel like you saw Vrabel motioning from the sidelines a ton last night, not even just at the end of the half, being like, let's wake up, like, let's go.
Yeah.
he felt like they were a little dead, which makes sense on a short week, but I didn't love the end of the first half.
This also remind, this is not a gripe, this is actually a compliment, but it remind, you just reminded me of, they showed on the broadcast Vrabel talking to every player on the team on the sideline, which, not to pile on Jerod Mayo, I think enough has been said about Jerod Mayo, but we would last year at this time say he's just like catching flies at the sideline, just like looking around like, wow, I can't believe I'm here. Vrabel talks to every guy. So he's not just like a defensive coach, not just an offensive coach, like something like a Mike McDaniel. Every single player got like a one-on-one you know, advice or criticism or whatever from Vrabel during the game.
Look, not for nothing, I didn't watch any of the Bruins game last night, Keith. I was locked in on the pad, so I didn't catch any of the Bruins, but I imagine Marco Sturm and his management style wasn't doing what Vrabel was doing.
Game too. One I watched on a lot of it early. And then
You?
Yeah, I watched it early. The game started, whatever it was, a little after 7. But Ottawa, the books were right. Ottawa was the betting favorite last night.
Books had them. 617-779-7937. You can jump in with any gripes, nitpicks from last night. Kyle Williams, certainly one of them. You can discuss there. We have our top five Friday, top five Jets at 1045 and the Friday four-pack on the way.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
Friday four-pack here on Jones and Keefe. It's brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. You can visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies at Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. Patriots Friday. Patriots win last night 27-14 over the Jets. They're 9-2. Some out there, Cam Newton, think it's fool's gold. You can discuss. We had a couple of gripes, a couple of nitpicks, but mostly another strong performance for May and another great win for the Patriots. Great might be too strong, but another win
really
for the
solid.
Patriots where they've won now.
That's
eight
my
in a
word
row.
Of the day.
Solid's a good
solid.
Word. Solid's a good word for it. We'll get to a top five Friday coming up 15 minutes from now. Top five Jets.
All time?
All time.
All time Jets.
Yeah. Top five all time Jets.
I love it.
Let's do that. Coming up, we'll get back to your phone calls as well. Typically, the Friday four pack is a look ahead to that weekend's game, but this is going to be more of a look ahead to week 11 and a look around the league. What's first up here today, Billy?
What is the best NFL game this weekend?
Four options.
Ooh.
Four legitimate good options.
Okay,
but
I'm
you
curious.
Can only pick one.
I'm curious.
Like a Highlander, Jones. There can only be one.
I'm curious what your four are. Okay,
I'll tell you what the four are after. But you want me to tell you what the best game is?
Sure.
It's Seahawks and Rams.
Oh,
they're both 7-2.
We disagree.
Well, I know that's the beauty of a sports talk radio show. 7-2 Seahawks at the 7-2 Rams. MVP buzz for both Matt Stafford and Sam Darnold. One of these teams is going to win the division. One's going to be a wild card, but they both feel like playoff teams. We wonder if the Rams truly are the best team in the league. It would go a long way if they beat the Seahawks this weekend. So that's a 4 o'clock Fox game, but I would say that's the best game. But there are three other possibilities.
Okay, Seattle and the Rams would be on my list. Let me guess some of the other possibilities. KC and Denver?
Yes.
Okay. That's not the game to
me. No, I didn't pick that one, but that's a good one, especially if Denver can win that.
Is the other one Tampa and Buffalo?
That's one of the other ones.
Okay. The game of the weekend, though, is the Sunday nighter, and it's a good one, Detroit at Philly. Mm-hmm. Now, my only hesitation with this game is the way that Philly just mucks the game up and does the stupid tush push
it into the ground.
Just takes forever on offense.
Yeah.
They never throw to the receivers. Like, I kind of hate watching Philly's offense, but they're still a really good team. You pointed out some of the wins they have this year.
That Eagles-Packers game just sucked the life out of me.
It was so bad.
Part of that was fantasy football, but part of it was just like, as a football fan, you're like,
don't
what is
you
this?
Think, like the, and I guess Vegas disagrees with me on this, the over-under is, I think, surprisingly low for this game. It's
46.5.
Thank you. 46.5. I assume to be like high 40s, maybe even in the 50s.
Mid-40s.
I thought there would be more points in this game. I just think the Lions are going to score,
yeah,
and the Eagles are going to have to keep up. And that doesn't mean the Eagles will lose the game. I just think it's going to be higher scoring than maybe Vegas does, which to me makes it an entertaining game. That would be my pick for the game of the weekend.
The one that was second, actually, for me was that Bills-Bucks game. I think Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, they both have the same record. And I think for the Patriots, it's the most important game because, like, can you gain more ground on the Bills? And also, like, you just beat the Bucks, and if the Bills lose to the Bucks at home, like, I think that's a really interesting game.
Denver and KC is a really interesting one for the Pats as well.
You got to root for Denver.
If Denver, oh, you do.
I do.
I mean, I agree with you. I'd rather have the Chiefs out of the playoffs than the Patriots having the one seed, so I agree with you on that. I think a lot of people are going to be rooting for the Chiefs to knock Denver down and give the Patriots
so
the
one seed. Have two games left, so I think best case they split. Right, and that's it hurts Denver from, you know, getting the top seed, but it also helps push Kansas City out.
Okay, we have a bunch of good games this weekend.
Yeah,
should
there
be a
really
good
is.
Sunday to watch. It's not a Sunday to go, you know, rake the leaves.
No. Actually, I do have to do that.
It's a Sunday to sit right down.
It's a mountain of leaves. I've been putting this thing off for a while. If anybody wants free leaves, come to my house this weekend.
You can probably
want some free leaves.
No, I'm good.
Bring your own bags.
Okay. Well, yeah. No, then in which case, I'm definitely out. You could probably skip the Madrid game early on in the day.
Yeah.
Who was that again? Commanders and Dolphins. You probably skip that one and then settle in for a good day. What else do we have here, Billy?
What is the worst NFL game this weekend?
It might be Commanders and Dolphins. It might be. Especially because it's 9:30 Madrid game. I would say that's up there. But also, don't sleep on Titans-Texans.
That's the one. We actually talked about this off the air yesterday.
Yeah, this is the Chris Myers game. Chris Myers, unfortunately, saddled with a lot of really rough games.
If you're looking for the worst matchup of the weekend, just go through the announcer pairings and find the Chris Myers game, and that's probably the one.
That's the game that Fox and CBS are telling you is the worst game, whether it ends up being or not. But, yeah, 1-8 Titans versus a 4-5 Texans team that are probably with their backup quarterback.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that one stinks.
Davis Mills, Cam Ward.
Look out.
In Tennessee, two just soulless teams.
Over under of 37.5.
Yeah, that's
like an Iowa game.
Sorry, that's the worst game of the week.
That's the lowest total, I believe, by far.
That's one. If you watch Red Zone on Sunday,
Browns Ravens has a low one too, but not as low as that.
They may not show that on Red Zone. You may not see a play from that game on Red Zone.
Nope,
it may never come up
like a halftime score update with no highlight. It's just like 10-7, and then it just goes away.
You never see anything from that game.
Yeah,
that's the worst game of the week.
Yep.
All right, what else, Billy?
Which NFL coach is on the hottest seat?
All right, this is a good question.
This is a great question.
It's not Mike McDaniel. I thought
it should be, but it isn't.
McDaniel's just remained on the hot seat, but his team is playing for him to a degree. Yeah. They won last week. It's not McDaniel.
And you can't include interim coaches. There's two interim coaches right now. Those don't count.
Nope.
Right? No, these are
real head coaches.
Yeah.
Honestly, Glenn might be back there, and did you hear what Rap Sheet said before the game? Rap Sheet, before the game last night, was like, yeah, they have all these first-round picks, Quinnen Williams and Sauce Gardner, and he's like, Aaron Glenn is going to be there to make the picks. And I'm like, why did you even need to throw that in? Like, that feels like a random thing to throw in
there. Yeah, true, true.
Where now I'm like, maybe he is going to get fired? Glenn could be there. He's probably not number one, but he's towards the top of the list. I'm looking at some of the odds.
I don't know what the odds say, but
Raheem Morris is number one.
Oh, Raheem Morris is a really good one. What about Jonathan Gannon?
Gannon is two.
Okay. So I would say Jonathan Gannon. He had a couple curious press conference things that came out this year, too, which I forget what they were now. I just remember like taking a note of it at the time. Like, all right, there's something there. But
and
like,
think of it like an owner. An owner, they are paying all this money to Kyler Murray to start Jacoby Brissett. Like, think of it if you're the owner. That can't possibly make his owner happy.
Was it the same franchise that had Steve Wilks and Josh Rosen, both one and done? Turned it over to Kingsbury and Kyler Murray. That group even made a playoff appearance. Then they got rid of Kingsbury. They still have Murray, which they're clearly regretting. So they might just start fresh quarterback coach next year. And this is also his third year. So there are some other like basement teams that have a first-year coach, maybe even a second-year coach. But Gannon, third year.
Like Carroll's high on the list. I think Carroll's got a better chance of surviving in Vegas than Aaron Glenn does in New York, but they're both first-year coaches.
What they're doing in Vegas.
With a loss, where would McDermott be?
Hot. That's a hot seat.
Warm?
Yeah, not as hot as those other guys, but warm seat.
Warm seat.
Put him in the warm seat.
Yeah, and the Gannon thing you're thinking of probably is when he beat up Amari DiMercato on the sideline to explain it.
Thank you. 100%. He started beating up a player.
It was that.
No, that was it.
No, it was that. And also remember when he was like, When did you learn about it? Was like when I was with Mike Vick in Atlanta, I learned not to
take things personally. It was like, oh, when my quarterback went to prison, and I was like, okay,
yeah, you're like dead, man. Calm down. Like, yeah, so
that everybody else didn't have a question after that. He just kind of walked away.
That was it. A hotter seat. Stefanski's a good one too. He's pretty high on these lists. Stefanski, that's got to be a pretty hot seat for him. He's given up. Didn't he give up play duty again?
Oh, he did.
Second year in a row.
That Tommy Reese kid is calling plays now in Cleveland. It's the second year in a row he's been calling plays and had to take it away from himself. But that can't be a good
thing. He's also been coach of the year twice in the last, like, 4 years. No, it's funny, though, but they kind of screwed him.
I think he's now, if not the betting favorite, he's high on the list to be the next Giants coach.
But, like, his front office is what bungled that.
Sure.
He had Baker Mayfield, and they're like, no, we're going to get you Deshaun Watson. Don't worry about all that other stuff. We're going to get you him, and then we're going to replace him with 10 other quarterbacks.
Okay. So those are some coaches on the hot and warm seat, as it were. What else do we have, Billy?
Who has a better chance of going back to the Super Bowl, the Chiefs or the Eagles?
I think it's the Chiefs.
I also think it's the Chiefs. Not to be down on the Patriots, there's something wrong with the Eagles.
No. It's more of a anti-Eagles take than it is like not thinking the Patriots can do it. I just always am more fearful, even though head-to-head last year, I know it's a different year, but head-to-head last year, the Eagles kind of embarrassed the Chiefs, but Mahomes and Reed, I'll give them that chance. They got to get back into the playoffs, first of all. They're 5-4. The Eagles are 7-2, and they're going to run away with that division because the division's so bad. But I don't know. You get them in the playoffs, I think the Eagles taking on like the Lions, Rams, those kind of teams. And I know they have some good wins this year, but you're right. Something's kind of odd, and maybe it'll be odd all the way to the Super Bowl again. But, yeah, no, if I had to pick one right now, I would take Kansas City.
The Eagles, 2 years ago, in 2023, started 10-1. And then they just, like, fell apart at the end of the year. They lost a playoff game to Brady and the Bucks, I think. So,
yeah, that sounds right.
Or was that Baker by 2023? Maybe that was Baker. They lost to the Bucks.
Oh, that was Baker.
And so, I don't know. I don't believe in this Eagles team. The more likely team to get back to the Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl, I would say, is the Chiefs. 617-779-7937. That's your Friday four-pack brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. We do it every Friday at 11:30. We also give you a top five Friday.
Yes.
Every Friday on Jones and Keefe. It's typically a little earlier in the show, but because we had the game last night, we bumped it back. Top five all-time Jets with your phone.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
Calls next. Jones and Keith here on WEEI. Top 5 Friday. Every Friday, typically 10:45. We backed it up a little bit here today with the game last night. Top 5 all-time Jets, Keith. If you want to get in on that, good place to do it.
Yeah.
The phone and only the text place line, to do it. 617-779-7937. This show is the only place that would do something like this.
I don't know how many places are doing top 5 Jets, but here we are.
Okay, you were first on the clock yesterday.
I was.
So why don't I go
first?
You
want to go first?
Top 5.
All right, top 5 Jets.
We'll switch it up if we could.
Number 5.
I'm going with Wayne Krubet. Now, Wayne Krubet, Keith, is not the all-time leader in really anything in Jets history.
No.
But he is in the Jets Ring of Honor, inducted back in 2014.
Really?
Yeah, and let me tell you,
I'm a small Ring of Honor guy.
Those concussions really knocked down some of those career totals. I think he was well on his way to being their all-time leading receiver. So Wayne Krubet for me.
Number 5.
Top 5. Number 5.
Okay.
All-time Jet.
Number 4.
Timo Solani. Now, I don't know if you remember his start to his career, but Timo Solani started hot, Keith.
That's a good one.
76 goals as a rookie in 93. Came right out. Calder winner.
It's a goal a game.
I mean, the guy was a machine.
Wow.
If you don't have Timo Solani on your list,
I got to redo the whole thing.
What are you doing? So that's number 4.
Coming in at number 3rd.
Kenny the Jet Smith coming in.
He's on
at
a good
number 3rd.
Postgame show.
Great postgame show. He is a 2-time NBA champ.
He'll tell you about it.
Not a lot of all-star teams or anything in there.
No.
But good nickname.
Was in a dunk contest.
Great. That's true. Great work on TNT.
Yep.
2-time NBA champ, Kenny the Jet Smith.
number two.
Joan Jett, godmother of punk. I love rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
Crimson and Clover?
What?
What else?
Was
what
it
else
the Runaways? Is that what they were?
I think that
what
sounds
was their
right.
Band?
Yeah. I was doing some Googling last night. That okay. Sounds right. Joan Jett, your yeah. Number two all-time jet.
Number one.
The Boeing 747. I was the first jumbo jet. I think it really changed air travel, Keith. So your Boeing
747. For the
better? Yeah, well, I think
for
so.
For the better, yeah.
I mean, I know airports aren't like a real fun topic these days.
That is Boeing.
Well, that's true, too. Okay. But at the time, changed air travel. The first jumbo jet, the Boeing 747, your number one all-time jet.
All right.
Number
five.
For my list, I'm going with Jason Terry. Jason Ooh. Terry, he'd hit you a three, and then he'd do the little jet runway all the way down to the other end of the court. So Jason Terry, my number five jet.
Number
four.
Jet Li.
Damn it.
Jet Li is a martial arts superstar. You put him in a movie, you know someone's getting their ass kicked. So put Jet Li down, number four.
Coming in at number third.
The Boeing FA-18 Super Hornet.
Oh, you went with the Super Hornet.
I went with the Super Hornet. This is the one that you saw a lot of in Top Gun Maverick, which was a really fun film just a couple of years ago. Love this. This is where the Super Hornet really got its just
nice.
Due.
Nice.
Number two.
I agree with you. Joan Jett.
Oh, wow,
rock
same rank.
Legend Joan Jett.
How about
yeah.
That?
Oh, yeah.
Number
one.
Curtis Martin. Curtis, my favorite
Martin.
Yeah, now at the time, as a kid, when he went from the Patriots to the Jets, it ripped my soul out. But yeah. Then the fact that the Patriots won several Super Bowls after that and the Jets have been an absolute laughingstock in the league, I was okay with that. And the guy had an unbelievable career, one of the 10 best running backs of all time. So Curtis Martin, my number one Jet.
Okay, pretty good.
The one that people are going to be mad about. And Jackson mentioned it down the hallway. And I did consider it, and then I went the other way. Benny the Jet.
Yeah.
From The Sandlot.
Yeah, like for instance, Dice just texted,
yeah.
I'm going to lose my mind
it's
if
on there.
Benny the Jet Rodriguez from The Sandlot does not make one of these lists.
So when I had Lucas Giolito on my podcast brag, I asked him about baseball movies, sports movies, and we talked about The Sandlot. And he wasn't all that impressed with Benny the Jet. And then we asked him how he had pitched to Benny the Jet. He's like, what is he, just like a speed guy? Like, he wasn't. He was like.
So that knocked him down.
So he, like, gave us the whole scouting report on how he'd pitched to Benny the Jet.
Oh, yeah, what was it? He's like, I need three pitches. And this
three
is
pitches? He's like, I'd throw heater. He's like, throw heater against Benny the Jet out.
Juan Pierre. I got him. Yeah.
He was not impressed with Benny the Jet. So I was like, all right, I'll take that for what it's worth. So, yeah, he was not on my list, but I bet he's on a lot of people's list.
Okay. Ooh, this is a good one. Volkswagen Jetta.
The Jetta.
I saw yeah. Somebody texted Jet Li, and when I saw that text, I'm like, I bet Keith has Jet Li.
Jet Li, of course. That Romeo Must Die.
That was an oversight awesome. On my end.
Yeah.
Let me tell you some other omissions. Mm-hmm. James Jett. Nice career.
I thought about James. Never a 1,000-yard guy. Did have a 12-touchdown season, but James Jett, I thought of, did not include.
Jason Jett Terry was on my list. Didn't mm-hmm. make it. Benny the Jet Rodriguez mm-hmm. on my list. Didn't make it. Jet Jackson. You remember that show?
No.
I think it was back-to-back with Alex Mack, if I'm not mistaken, on Nickelodeon. The famous Jet Jackson.
I don't remember that.
You don't recall that one?
At all. No.
It was a good one.
Okay.
I
didn't know where I...
And the SR-71 Blackbird. That was another jet one. I was looking
that's
at.
Good choice.
Very fast airplane.
I was wondering about the Jetsons, but yeah. I was like, I don't know if that's stretching it too much. I don't know if they were all included or none of them were included, so I just decided
what's
to...
What's your list?
Them. It is my list.
Air Force One's a good jet. I didn't want to get political. I felt like that wasn't the right thing to
where
do
where do you stand
with
on
this.
JetBlue? I think they have free Wi-Fi.
Ooh, yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, that's all right.
TV screens on the back of the...
Keyshawn Johnson, I considered... I famously did a book report in the middle school about Just Give Me the Damn Ball.
Yeah,
that was a good one.
Guy from the 207, GOAT level SR-71. That was an oversight on my part. I should have gone with that.
Yeah, well, that could be your list.
Well, you know, there are a lot of, you know, you could have gone military options like you. I wanted to go with something that, you know, all of us have probably taken a ride on once or twice.
Definitely.
The Boeing 747.
We got some texts about Al Toon.
The great
jet receiver.
Any Mark Gastineau? I haven't seen any Mark Gastineau over there. Yeah, that's true.
That's good. You know what? You mentioned Timu Solani is a great one. I did not consider any Winnipeg Jets.
Hot tub Jets. Those are nice.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
You sit just right on those.
I'm going to
hot tub Jets is pretty.
Hot that's tub pretty
good.
Jets.
That's a good one. Text line.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's not a bad one mm-hmm. at all. 617-779-7937. Joe's in Providence wants to weigh in on top five jets. Go ahead, Joe.
Good afternoon, guys.
How you doing?
Hey, Joe.
I'm doing very well. Thank you. I avid Patriots fan, longtime season ticket holder. But I just want to bring, I feel,
for that.
The football all. Excuse me?
Huh? What?
Go ahead.
Football.
The all-time football Jets. I have to go with, firstly, Reeve Eubank, who got him to the Super Bowl. Secondly, obviously, Revis. Thirdly, Klacko. And obviously, you mentioned Martin. And then first and foremost, Joe Namath. I just think of the football Jets, those would be the five guys I would mention.
Awesome. All right, Joe, good stuff. Weeb Eubank.
Yeah, put Weeb. Was that in order?
We should. Well, he went calm back. I think he had two number ones, if I heard that correctly.
Klacko.
Which at his age, probably.
Go on.
Yeah, do that a couple times a night.
Klacko.
Yeah, Klacko.
Yeah, obviously Joe Namath.
Yeah, well,
who I don't. Wasn't really a good quarterback. Kind of called a shot in a big game, and that was it.
More picks than interceptions.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, more picks than touchdowns, rather, in his career, yeah.
And embarrassed himself on national television. And a hit on Susie Colbert whilst drunk.
He also didn't make my list, but that was another good top five, Joe.
I considered him.
Ryan's in Connecticut. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Good. I just wanted to – I've heard a lot of comparisons between Josh Allen and Drake May. But I haven't heard a single comparison between Travion Henderson and James Cook.
Ooh,
so
we've
I was
made
wondering
it.
What you guys thought about that.
Well, we've made that, Ryan. We've compared him to Gibbs.
You're kind of soft snitching on yourself not listening yesterday.
And Cook and Achan.
Upside. We're like, this was before the game yesterday, so now a little bit more evidence of it. But after the game where he had some of those really big runs, you're wondering, the AFC East running backs, you know, aren't necessarily the 25 carry type guys, right? It's not Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor, even Saquon, but like they got speed that absolutely killed. Achan scores a touchdown like every week. James Cook is really, really good. So if Henderson's even like below those guys, that's a good player.
I think, and just frame wise, he's a similar build to those backs, even if they're high end comps. Mo Lewis, pretty good one. That's in the Twitch chat, as is Wiggy. Twitch chat is complaining that we missed out on Wiggy.
Yeah,
that's a good call.
Thought about it.
Probably should have had that.
Jealous of us.
Let me see. Guys, the G.I. Joe F-14 Tomcat should be on the list.
That's good.
With the aircraft carrier.
Yeah, obviously. Oh,
so the G.I. Joe aircraft carrier, that's the...
I mean, that's not a jet, but if it, you know, can
that's
land
the jet
on
that
the
comes
jet.
With the... I see, okay.
Ooh, good one
I
from...
I have that.
Great one from Jeff in the on Twitter.
Yeah.
The jet sweep.
Jet sweep. Well, not McDaniels loves that.
Not the pop down jet sweep.
That's McDaniels'
others,
whole top five.
Others could do
is
it.
Is the jet sweep. That would be his, clearly. 617-779-7937. We'll get to more of your feedback. Top five
so
jets. What's that?
No, just the whole thing.
Oh, the jet sweep. Yeah. Oh, what you thinking?
The whole thing.
The whole thing.
Well, how dare you?
Top five Friday, every Friday here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get back to the Patriots. 9-2. Another win last night over the Jets. Not their strongest victory, but another solid victory, as Keith has been saying. And if you missed any of this last night, the Vrabel and May Love Fest on Amazon is worth revisiting. We'll get to that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for the Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.